Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope your device is locked onto our website at kptz.org. I'm Marianne McMillis, and this show is called Our Town. The show highlights some of the unique personalities that make Jefferson County, Washington, so special. The COVID crisis has changed our lives so very much. Our radio station itself is a whole new world. With an abundance of caution, most of us cannot use our studio equipment to record shows. Individual DJs can creep into the studio and do their shows in solitary confinement. But those of us who have real live guests on their shows are not able to invite them to the studio to record. Needless to say, that changes the game. We do have a technological workaround where we create and record the show without even visiting KPTZ's world headquarters in a sweet little trailer in the parking lot of Mountain View School. Admittedly, our audio quality is not up to usual standards, but the show must go on. So please bear with us if the sound quality isn't quite what it usually delivers. Consider the content. The purpose of Our Town is to share the stories of some of the fascinating people who make up our community. But the show is only a half hour long, definitely not long enough to do justice to some of our fellow citizens. So it's a synopsis. We try to get our guests to talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the northwestern edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. The past few months have brought some remarkable changes to our lives. Now, more than ever, don't you wonder about the people you see around you? Wearing a mask can be a fashion statement. Masks can be fanciful with kittens and puppies or even giraffes. Masks can complement your outfit. Masks can also sport political statements such as Black Lives Matter. But the really, really hot COVID accessory is the vaccination card. Did you realize that if you really want to score on online dating sites, just drop the news that you've been vaccinated? It's a powerful aphrodisiac. Your shot doesn't just mean that you probably won't get COVID. It means you're probably going to score online. Who'd have thunk it? Anyhow, the COVID crisis has changed all our lives. You probably haven't met too many new people in the past year in the heart of the pandemic. Well, listening to a show like Our Town can help you with that. Our Town is designed to get you to know some of the fascinating people who live and work around these parts. My guest today is Hans Fredrickson, the owner of Fredrickson Electric, right here in Port Townsend. Welcome to the show, Hans.
Hi, Marianne. Thanks for having me on your show.
I'd like to start back at the very beginning. So tell me, are you a local boy, born and bred right here in Port Townsend?
Yes, I was born in Seattle, actually, but made my way home to my home in Port Townsend when I was probably 1 or 2 days old. At the time, the hospital for delivering babies was in Seattle, so that's where I was born. My family used to tell a story that if we were accidentally born on the ferry boat, that we would get lifetime free ferry passage. Don't know if that's true or not, but that was the story we told at the time. Fortunately for everyone, I was born in the hospital.
I've got a feeling that was sort of an urban myth, but it makes
a
good story.
So. Yeah.
But you actually grew up here in Port Townsend, right?
I did. Yeah, I went to school here starting in kindergarten and all the way through Port Townsend schools till I graduated in 1992.
So what were you like in high school? What would your peers have said about you?
I was academic type. I was focused on my studies and music, and I did sports, mainly soccer and track and field, but I was fairly terrible at them. So I suspect that I was more on the nerdy side in high school.
Well, you're a tall guy. Did you play basketball?
No, I was actually asked to play basketball by coaches and so forth because I was taller than average. Once I realized that basketball involved a lot of pushing and shoving in addition to trying to throw the ball through the hoop, it decided it really wasn't for me.
So did you have it in mind all along that you would go to college?
Yes, I think that was the expectation in my family. And certainly I loved school, so I was planning on it from an early age. I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do until near the end of my high school career. I had been involved in music, playing the cello in the orchestra starting in the middle school and the Mountain View campus. I got to be fairly proficient at cello playing, but I wasn't certain that I could make a living as a musician or that I even wanted to. So I decided to combine my interest in music with my academics and thought I might be a recording engineer. So that's what I went to college initially to study.
And where did you do that?
So I ended up at the University of Miami in Coral Gables, Florida, which is the southeast tip of the United States, probably about as far as you could get from Port Townsend without actually leaving the country. So that was quite a change for me, but it was a good school for what I intended to study there, which was recording and music technology.
It was probably quite a cultural change too, from a small town in the Pacific Northwest to Florida.
Yeah, you bet. I had heard a lot about diversity, but I hadn't seen a lot of it. So it was a real eye-opener for me to see all these different communities of folks in Miami. I was glad that I went. It was very informative.
After you graduated, what did you do first?
Well, when I graduated from Miami, I still wasn't done with school yet. I felt like I had a lot to learn. So I went to graduate school at Stanford in the California Bay Area in electrical engineering. I'd shifted my focus by then. After one fateful summer as an intern in a recording studio in Seattle, I decided that that wasn't the life for me. It was a fun summer in around 1995 or 96. At the peak of the grunge years, and I met lots of rock stars. One highlight was meeting Johnny Cash and assisting on a studio session with him. But the recording life wasn't really for me.
Were you involved with any of the big grunge bands as well?
Only insofar as my work in the studio that summer. Right. And I was an intern.
Want to drop a few names of some of the groups?
There were musicians there from Nirvana, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, bands like that. The name of the studio was Bad Animals. Yeah, it was a real interesting experience, but again, it wasn't the life for me.
It didn't speak to you.
No.
So you decided to go to Stanford and study electrical engineering. When you finished with that, where did you head immediately?
Right in the heart of Silicon Valley, companies like Yahoo, Sun Microsystems, which at the time was called itself the dot in .com, which is where I ended up working when I first left graduate school. Lots of people were making a lot of money, and the internet was brand new, and it was super exciting. In fact, in my graduate dorm, if you've ever seen those employment help wanted ads that are printed out on the letter size paper with little tear off with the phone number, at the time I was living there, there were those pasted up all over the place for a little startup company called Google. And I remember looking at that sheet, realizing they were in internet search and thinking to myself, what a stupid name. And don't they know Yahoo has already got this thing wrapped up? It's a good thing I didn't know anything about internet search, or I would have kicked myself for a missed opportunity there.
Yeah, you should have bought some stock way back.
Yeah. The other funny thing that happened in my time in Silicon Valley, I would get calls from headhunters, people who got paid for recruiting engineers. One particular headhunter was really persistent trying to get me to work for Apple. And at that time, Apple was down in the dumps. Their CEO was a guy named John Sculley, who had previously been at Pepsi, and Steve Jobs was nowhere in sight. And he was trying to get me to go to this company, Apple, that I thought was just done for, to work on a little project called the iPod. I declined on that. That was a real missed opportunity for me. That would have been a fun job.
Oh, well, 2020 hindsight, right?
Right.
You're listening to KPTZ Fort Townsend 91.9 FM. The show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the really interesting people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. Today, my guest, Hans Fredriksson, the owner of Fredriksson Electric. Hans was just telling me about his younger days, first as a studio engineer for some well-known grunge bands and not grungy people like Johnny Cash. Then he studied electrical engineering at Stanford, ended up working for some of the big tech firms during the tech boom. But of course, booms often bust. It does happen. So Hans, it sounds like you had some interesting career moves, music industry, then the technology sector. But how did you end up back here home in Fort Townsend?
Well, my wife Mia had moved to Seattle for another tech job of mine. We were realizing that when we lived in California, we were spending all our vacation time visiting family. We both have family up here. My son was born in 2004. We were living south of Seattle at that time, and it didn't feel like home. I was getting tired of my job. It was becoming more of a management job, and my coworkers were being outsourced and being replaced with software engineers from India. It just wasn't fun anymore. So I was trying to think about what to do next. I got a call from my dad around that time, and he was trying to figure out how he was going to retire and what to do with the family business. He wanted to meet with me about that. It turned out that I was looking for something new at the same time that he was looking for an exit strategy from the family business. The idea of raising my kids here in Port Townsend was really appealing, slowing down a little bit from the rat race. So we decided in 2005 to make the move back to Port Townsend.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you worked some for your father's firm when you were a teenager, but were you really well qualified at that point when you returned, or did you have to do some retraining?
Well, I remembered what the work was like, but some of the details were a little fuzzy, and lots of advancements are made all the time in this business. So when I first started working again, I was back out in the field as an electrical apprentice, crawling under houses through attic, wiring new houses, working on all sorts of jobs all over the place, but paying a lot more attention this time since this was going to be my new career into how things worked. And that was a really good 9 months I spent out in the field relearning the trade.
What were some of the advances in technology? What new tools did you find yourself equipped with now?
When I was a teenager, we used something called a Yankee screwdriver, which was a mechanical device that you would push on the handle to turn the screwdriver bit. By the time I returned, everyone had fancy battery-powered cordless drills to work with. So that was nice. Actually, that's one of the biggest changes in the trade over the years has been all of the labor-saving devices to make us more productive and efficient at work.
That's good. How did the company fare during the what people called the Great Recession, starting in about 2007 for several years? How did the electric company handle it?
That was a really rough time. In my previous work, I had gone through the dot-com boom and bust. 2005 was nearing the end of the housing boom, but for the first few years that I was with the family company, things were really busy. And it was great. And then all of a sudden, right around the time that we were initially thinking of transferring the business, me purchasing it from my father, the Great Recession happened. And this job that I had partly got into because it couldn't be outsourced, I discovered is subject to the greater macroeconomic picture. The business shrunk during that time. We had to lay people off. It was really painful. I started during that time really looking for ways to keep the team together because we had an awesome team. We still do have a lot of the original employees that I started back with. But it turned out that just being involved in new construction and remodels wasn't really the way to go. So we got into new things. We put more emphasis on doing small projects and service work. Really my passion, we got into solar and heat pumps. but I'm really passionate about giving people options to get rid of the fossil fuels in their life, whether it's by heating their home or driving their car or generating their own clean energy. So that's a real focus of what the business does now.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about solar panels. I mean, I see them around town more and more, but we don't actually live in a sunshine state. Washington State is called the Evergreen State, which is lovely, but we have a lot of gray, rainy days. Is solar power really good for the Pacific Northwest? Can you explain it a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. In the United States, we're blessed with some incredibly great solar resource areas like the southwestern deserts. Western Washington is not that different from a lot of other places in the world, particularly Europe, where solar is very popular as well. The truth is that the solar panels are designed to work in low light, overcast conditions. They capture sun from every angle. Through the beauty of net metering, which is the law that allows you to bank your excess solar generation that we have in our beautiful long summer days with the utility, we're able to basically get credit for the solar energy we generate during those long summer days and use them in those dark, short winter days that we're experiencing now.
And so that must impact your electric bill.
That's right. Some of our customers, if they have a nice, modern, energy efficient house and a big enough roof, they're able to install a solar array that actually gives them enough extra credits over the summer to ride them through the winter. They actually achieve what we call net zero, which is on an annual basis, they actually don't consume any net energy. They generate so much excess that they get credit for in the summer that they are able to power their homes through the winter with those credits from Jefferson PUD. For those folks, they get a monthly electric bill of about $18, which is what the PUD charges to have a meter and be connected to the grid. It's a great deal.
Wow. And so does PUD then collect the energy somehow?
What happens is it gets generated, and any that isn't used within your home during the day while the sun is shining flows out to the neighborhood, and it goes up to the transformer outside your house and then goes into your neighbor's houses, and it's probably consumed within, you know, a block of your house for sure, because we don't have solar on every roof yet. And so it's used locally. It's generated locally and used locally.
Interesting. So it doesn't pile up in some mothership somewhere.
Nope. It spins your meter backwards and spins your neighbor's meters forwards. And they may not know it, but they're using solar energy in their house too on a nice sunny day.
That's really interesting. The other area you mentioned in terms of reducing energy consumption is heat pumps. Can you explain the concept of heat pumps?
Yeah, heat pumps, people are getting more and more familiar with them. The technology is a little bit tricky to understand, but it works on the same concept as a refrigerator. There's a compressor that uses a material called refrigerant that can be both a gas or a liquid, and it's pumped through copper tubes that run between the inside and the outside, and heat is collected from the exterior air, even down into sub-zero temperatures, and consolidated and pumped inside to warm up the air inside. And they can work in the reverse direction as air conditioning in the summertime if you need that.
Wow. Getting a heat pump installed is more expensive than electric baseboard type heating. Am I correct in that?
That's true. It's a much more advanced piece of machinery than a baseboard heater. A baseboard heater works on the same principle that your toaster does. It just runs electrons through a resistive element and gets hot. But the heat pump is 3 to 4 times as efficient as a baseboard heater, and so it pays for itself over time with the energy savings. And also, if you do have an inefficient electric heat source like a baseboard, Jefferson PUD wants to encourage you to use a more efficient heat source like a heat pump. And so they offer really nice rebates. Actually, right now, the rebates are as high as they've ever been, $1,300 in most cases.
That's a pretty good deal. Another energy saving form. I don't know whether we would really call it energy saving, but let's talk about electric cars and what is good about electric cars.
Yes, well, electric vehicles, and I've been driving an electric car for the last 4 years. If your house is already heated with electricity, hopefully you have a heat pump, but even if not, you can enjoy the fact that Jefferson PUD is primarily hydropower and almost carbon-free electricity. So your carbon footprint for heating your home is very low if you're on electricity. If you're on gas or propane or oil, then you should definitely consider getting electric heat. But if you drive a gas-powered car, switching to an electric car is one of the most significant changes you can make in your personal life to reduce your carbon footprint. And you're using fuel that is generated locally in the Northwest, whether it's the dams or wind farms or even maybe even your own solar panels. And it's clean and it's inexpensive to run and operate an electric car, and they're really fun to drive. To give you an idea of the cost savings for an electric vehicle, for the price of a gallon of gas, which is a little under $3, if I put that much money worth of electricity into the battery, my car will take me 100 to 120 miles. It's the equivalent of having a gas car that gets 100 to 120 miles per gallon in terms of the operating cost to drive it around, my mileage cost. And the maintenance, I've had the new car that I have now for a couple of years, I've had it serviced once. I think they changed the cabin air filter and they put some window washing fluid in there for the wipers. I don't think they've done anything else to the car. There's really not much to go wrong. There's an electric motor that turns the wheels, doesn't need oil changes or anything like that. So they're quite inexpensive to operate and fun to drive too.
Oh, that sounds good. So what year did you actually fully take over the company from your father?
I purchased the business and started in January of 2012. So I've been running it for 9 years now.
Okay. And what has the transition been like? How many employees did you start with in 2012 and where have you gone since then?
Yeah, so 2012, we were still dealing with the effects of the Great Recession and we were down to 11 employees. Today we have 22. And a large number of the new employees that we have and the growth that we've seen has been from the new initiatives we've taken, particularly around solar and heating and cooling, and to a lesser degree, some things like electric vehicle charging.
But you're still involved in home construction and remodels and things like that, right?
Yeah, our electrical business is our core business. It still represents the bulk of what we do, wiring new homes, doing remodels. There's always new folks moving to Port Townsend and fixing up our old houses or building their new houses. And we've done a lot of work also with some of the local small businesses. We're really proud of the work we've done with some of the agribusinesses in the county, like Finn River and Red Dog Farm. We've done electrical work for them and others. And so we do it all in the county, electrically speaking.
So you've been involved in a few larger projects too, like Quimper Village, for example.
That's right. We did get to wire the 26 townhomes in Quimper Village off of San Juan and F Street there. And we've been involved in some larger commercial projects as well, various places around the county.
Roughly speaking, how did you divide up your business then? What percentage?
I would say maybe, I've been thinking about this. It's a little bit hard because it's all intertwined. Sometimes we'll do everything on one project. We'll do solar panels, we'll do electric vehicle charging station, we'll do a heat pump, and we'll wire a new house all on one property. So it's all a holistic approach. But if I were to guess, I'd say about half of our business is new construction and remodeling, and about a quarter is in solar, and we're getting too close to a quarter in heating and cooling as well. That's a rapidly growing business for us.
Okay, I can't ignore the obvious. How has the pandemic impacted your business?
Well, it's been a very interesting year. It was really tough at first when the stay-at-home order came. Basically all but about two of our electricians had to stay at home because there was only a few things that we do that are considered essential under the rules. So we were allowed to repair life safety systems, and we did get one nice project during the month of April, wiring up a new commercial kitchen that I'm really proud of as being involved in as well. That's Lila's Kitchen up at the PT Business Park with all the takeout food. If you haven't been there, it's quite a wonderful place to go. I think they have something really delicious for lunch with a couple different vendors every day at this point. So we spent April, a couple of our electricians wiring up that kitchen and then going around and fixing septics and heaters and other things that people need to be safe. Since then, we were able to get back into construction relatively early. Construction businesses have been lucky compared to restaurants and others. So it's been nice. We've been doing a lot of work, fixing up things in people's homes. They're spending a lot more time there nowadays. People are not going on vacations, but they're putting in hot tubs and patio heaters and fixing up their lighting and things like that.
Let's hope we're going to be returning to some form of normal soon. What do you think? We're running out of time, but what are your thoughts on living in Port Townsend? Do you feel you made the right choice coming back?
Oh, undoubtedly. You know, when I was a teenager, like all teenagers that grow up here, you can't wait to get out. And I did live in several really amazing places in the world. Australia for a year, South Florida, Northern California, beautiful places, but they really can't compare to the community that we have here. And honestly, in the summertime, there's no better place. And for the winter, there are things we can enjoy as well, but particularly our community, the people that live here, having lived in other places, you come to appreciate how good people are to each other here and what a great community we have, so and how supportive.
Okay, well, Hans, unfortunately, we're running out of time. After all, we only have a half hour to do this. I want to thank you for being on the show. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. My guest today has been Hans Fredriksson, the owner of Fredriksson Electric. In addition to thanking him, I want to thank my partner, John McPherson, the editor and producer of Our Town. He will technologically massage and distill what we're saying so we sound ever so intelligent and much more eloquent than we really are. He will iron out our verbal stumbles and mumbles. I want to thank you, the listener. KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend, a community radio station. Everyone who works here is a volunteer. We give our time because we all believe that Jefferson County needs a free local voice. We need you, dear listener. We need more volunteers, and we also need more donations to stay afloat. Like all businesses, we have rent to pay, electricity to pay, many other expenses that go on. We're currently remodeling a building at Fort Worden, which will someday be our new headquarters. Just like you, we would all like to really return to some form of normal. So listener, stay safe, stay healthy. I'm signing off for today, but please keep listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.